are recording.
Good morning. This is a special meeting agenda for Thursday, August 14th, 2025. We are starting the meeting at 10 a.m. This is the Temporary Bonding and CIP Committee. Members present are myself, Bill Volosky, Katie Kenny, Russell Bush, CAO Mark Penny, and Finance Director Zoe Peek. Looking at the agenda here, we do have nobody here from the public to comment, but I think we all got the same email here from Lisa Coggins, and I just want to just comment on a couple things here and bring this and so this will be on the record here. Lisa is asking a couple questions here. I'll read them verbatim here. If the business plan you are developing for the town of Canton will be adopted into the town charter, I've listened to your meetings, and my understanding is that multiple boards will be making multiple policies to bring the business plan together. And her second question or comment here, if a bonding performance report will be required and presented to the Board of Selectmen and public at the completion of this project, I do believe a version of this is currently part of the town charter, but was not done for the firehouse. I guess I'll just give my own comment on the first item here. I think we're going to come up with policies and recommended procedures for the other boards and commissions to consider. I doubt that that will end up as part of the town charter. Mm-hmm. Typically, our charter doesn't really have any policies and procedures of that nature. And I think these are just going to be standard operating guidelines as we go forward. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that they would end up in the charter. The second comment she makes about a bonding performance report and the fact that she said, I do believe a version of this is currently part of the town charter, but was not done for the firehouse. I don't know that I've ever seen the bonding performance report or what.
I looked briefly at the charter, not in response to Lisa's comment, but because many of the other debt policies that other towns have refer to their charters and say, you know, in keeping with the provisions of the town charter for blah, 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 you know, this debt policy does such and such. So I just wanted to check and see if our charter said anything particular about debt policy so that I could be consistent with it. And I didn't look very many separate places. I looked under what it says about the Board of Selectmen and what it says about the Board of Finance. And I didn't see anything, see much of anything. If it was, it was just the most minor mention.
Us the ability to bond.
Yes, exactly. It gives the ability to bond, but it doesn't. I didn't see anything that was more specific than that. I sent the draft of the debt policy, which we're going to talk about in Board of Finance Monday, to Zoe just this morning, and I did, you know, one of the things that most of those policies include is reporting back to the Board of Finance or Board of Finance and Board of Selectmen on performance of bonding over time, you know, just on a regular basis, once a year or something, reviewing what do we have bonded, all that stuff. Like, what's the status of our
obligations?
Exactly. What's the status of our debt? And so that's a normal thing to have as part of your debt policy, to have the finance director give an annual, like, update.
And unless you go to bond and you purchase more bonds, it's not going to change. It's just going to go down.
Right.
So,
I don't know what she means about what's in the charter, but we could all take a closer look, I guess.
No, I'll leave Merrill over back and I'll respond to it. I think that's kind of the tone of where we're going, though.
And I completely agree about these policies, I think, from what I was seeing about other towns, these are policies that are adopted by the various boards as that board's policy. Mm-hmm. It's just like, it's just the way any organization might adopt bylaws or might adopt, you know, whatever guidelines or policies for how they're going to do business as a board. And so my understanding is that a board can adopt a policy for how it conducts its own business going forward.
Right. But most of we have policies for all kinds of things, but they're not necessarily referenced in the charter.
Right.
I mean, they're just under our overall authority.
Correct.
Yeah.
And some of them even enhance charter language, like the gift policy that we just reviewed at the Board of Selectmen. Mm-hmm. It says one thing in the charter, but
we have a written policy because
the charter, whether appropriately or not, is vague in certain areas. Like when we were discussing as far as potentially putting questions on the ballot.
Right.
The first question by our town council was, the charter mentions any policies as set forth by the Board of Finance to follow. His review was there weren't such policies, so we fell back on state statute, which is why there's the conundrum.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, absolutely, I agree. I think what you read in the charter is what it says about bonding.
Yeah.
And it's up to the appropriate board to set that policy. Should only be in policy, because then it's subject for quick change, revision, revocation by said board.
Exactly. And those policies, I don't know if I put it in this one, and if I didn't, we should probably add it. But I know in the debt policy one of the things was, you know, this shall be periodically reviewed and can be updated, right? Like it's...
It should be periodically.
Typically, they should be updated, or at least looked at and reviewed yearly.
Yeah.
And that,
you know, changing the charter, forget about it. Like, that's a whole charter revision commission and a whole, you know, that's a much bigger process.
Right. And even by ordinance, you want to do it. You don't have to do it by ordinance. Just create the policy, and that's the way it
vote
is.
Vote on it, and...
Where are we at since the last meeting? I know you were going to take a stab at coming up with a final draft for us here.
Yeah. So did people get that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I didn't get it.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
I can browse it.
Yeah, it's in your should be in your email. I hope.
Okay.
I sent it out. Did I send it Monday?
I think so.
I think I sent it Monday afternoon. Basically, I tried to add the things that we talked about at the last meeting that had not been in there. Like, I'd had a placeholder for a capital reserve fund, and I tried to add what we discussed. The sections highlighted in blue were things that were in the Simsbury policy that just seemed maybe a little wordy or excessive, that if people agreed, we could just axe. And the things highlighted in yellow were things that I thought we should still discuss and decide. So, you know, Simsbury has a minimum amount that can be bonded for a project to be bonded for that was $250,000. But a number of the smaller towns I looked at set that at $100,000. And I thought maybe as a smaller town we might prefer to have the lower threshold. There are things like, you know, Simsbury said for bonding a project has to have a life of at least 15 years. There are towns that have shorter time periods, like 7 or 10. I think 15 is still right for bonding. But I wanted to make sure that we all had thought about that and agreed before we decided. I don't even know what the other yellow highlights are.
Maybe it'd be best just to go through it in your highlight
order. Why don't we go in order? Yeah.
So I agree with you on the blue highlights. Like, I just had a question mark. I would just cut it. They're wordy. I couldn't understand it.
Yeah.
Let's get rid of it. On the first highlight here, the 6 years, I said I thought we should go 7 just because if we're doing 2 a year, potentially bonding. I would like to see 1 year past the...
I like 7 years.
Mm-hmm. It's just 1 year past like your even increment, so that you're looking past. You're not going to just bond at year six and then you're
and
then you
I
have
think,
no plan.
I think Farmington is seven, so that, you know, there's towns have anything between 5 and 10, I've seen.
Granby does too.
And so
I think 10's a long way out.
Yeah.
And I think but I think 6 is too short.
That's okay. So yeah, let's do right in 7.
Your next one here, by I don't remember what this one is, by distributing projects over X year period, the town.
Oh, that would just be the same thing. You'd stick the 7 in there.
The same number in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
This one, I didn't know if this, I think, is the same thing. It's 7 years, but I don't know if you put those fiscal year dates in because of policy. So, like, next year, it wouldn't be for, it'd be 2026.
Right.
So I think maybe just the seven-year plan.
Yep. Actually, why don't I write this on this one so that I can.
You can
take
have
it.
This.
Okay.
Yeah,
that
you
works.
Can write
all
up
right,
on this.
All right.
Yep. If you can, you're not gonna be able to read my chicken scratch anyway when you get to the. Then
okay.
I don't, with this X next, that's 7 again, right?
Yep.
And then that one. Would just get crossed out.
Okay, yeah.
Because I didn't understand. I mean,
again,
it doesn't have to
doesn't,
just because I don't understand it. But
no,
I didn't
but if
understand
it doesn't
it.
Like add to what's
right.
The meaning of what comes before it, like it just a number of times in theirs, it seemed like why you keep having more words
right.
Where it doesn't mean any more than the previous two sentences meant.
On this one for the capital reserve, you had asked if the capital reserve should have 5 or 10 years. I circled 10 when I read it.
So my question there is, so we're talking about things like fire trucks, dump trucks. I don't know if we would eventually, if we also want to include the way we save for police vehicles, or if we're switching to leases for police vehicles, or where we're going to be with that. But
well, a lot lower cost.
It's a much lower cost.
To lease or to?
To
The cost of the asset.
The overall cost of the asset is lower, but we have had a thing where we do it whatever, every other year.
Yeah.
But do we put money in for those, or do we just alternate years and take it out of operating?
So, and I could stand corrected. Not really seen it, so I thought so. They do one and then two and then one and two.
Right.
I don't know if the way we do it is the best way of doing it. I think we should maybe look at it. It wouldn't even hurt to develop a policy on how we swap out these vehicles, how long it is. Sometimes we hold on to vehicles longer than potentially we should. With a policy, like say, if you were looking at lease, you know you're into it on a 3-year lease.
Right.
You're getting rid of them.
Right.
They had looked into it before, but I don't know if it makes sense.
So one of the things that one of the towns does is like what they're calling capital leasing, where it's a lease to buy situation.
Mm-hmm.
But then that you'd want that to be something that had a long lifespan, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to do a lease to buy of a police car that. By the time you own it, you're then saying this is beyond its useful life.
Which is what I think is where it goes.
They,
except for the administration vehicles, the patrol cars incur
out
so
high
mileage.
Or high hours.
High mileage and high hours. Okay. Both.
That's the pro. I've seen. I would not my purview.
Mm-hmm.
That's a you and Board of Selectmen thing. But I would say that there should probably be a policy on vehicles because I know.
I think so.
Even for me, it's so tempting to be like. I'm going to save that truck. It's got 150,000 miles. It's great. I can use it for junk. But then I look at my cost report for that vehicle the next year, and it's outrageous.
And it's high.
And it's unseen. I'm like, there's no way we did all that. And then I look through the reports. I'm like, oh, yeah, we did all that repair.
And then they're off warranty, which is, you know.
And you're gambling with it. It might have a year of nothing,
or
it might blow up an engine, and now it's worth zero.
Yeah.
And you got to put an engine in it.
Exactly. And in the budgeting season... While I've only been through one of them, a few questions have come up in discussion with the chief as what are we going to do? What should we do? How are we going to do it? Am I getting two this year? Well, I'm only getting one. It's all through the CIP. How does that work? What are we doing? I just think it's all over the place, as many of our things are.
So anyway, I would make a the goal, it seems to me, for this is to figure out what are the things that we save for into the capital reserve fund. And we know we do that for fire trucks.
Right.
And we talked last meeting about thinking we should do that for dump trucks. But what are there other categories of things that are that we're going to treat that way? Do police vehicles belong in that category, or is their lifetime too short, and is their cost too low?
I would think that for a police, if you're just using police vehicles as an example, your lifespan's way too short.
Yeah. So do they last 5 years?
Well, they've stretched them.
Right.
So that's why we have no policy to guide us. There's no firm question.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oftentimes.
But 5 or 6 or something like that, well, probably.
So what they would usually do
kind of
is they'd get a vehicle and then it goes straight out into patrol. I don't know if they still do this, but they might. It would go straight into patrol and only be used in certain areas. Then once it had a particular amount of mileage or we bought another vehicle, the new vehicle would go into patrol. Then the older vehicle would be rotated out only for private jobs.
Uh-huh.
But or spares. So the spares would be used mostly for private jobs. So there's kind of a method to the madness, but it's not driven by policy.
Right.
And then we would end up having a vehicle that would have a ridiculous amount of mileage on, had zero value, whether trade-in or resale. And, you know, even the policy that says, how do we get rid of the vehicles? Because right now I have, I think, an administrative vehicle got moved into for town use, but I wanted to hold on to it to kind of see. Didn't have a lot of trade-in value, a couple grand. So we've got it, but I don't necessarily have a use for it right now because we don't have a policy that tells us what we can
do with this. So that sounds like something that maybe... Whoever
that discussion with the captain and the chief would be fantastic to have, and saying, listen, our foregoing policy will be, you get a vehicle, we're going to hold on to it for 3 years, or five. 3 years patrol, 2 years it goes into rotation as a spare private duty vehicle, and then it's out at 5.
Right.
Instead of, we don't know what we're doing.
Right.
And they could write the you could task them to write it. Just be like,
Could.
Give me two plans. We're either going to buy vehicles, and this is going to be the policy for keeping them and rotating them, or we're going to lease the vehicles and just tell us.
We have a traditional way of doing it, but it changes because I think this year we were supposed to buy 2 vehicles, but due to budgetary constraints, we only went to one.
Right, and that's what, I mean, for their certainty and peace of mind, where they, like, the whole point of this plan is, how do we make it so people can know what's coming and count on it
and keep it at a level amount
and know that the town can afford it and all of that kind of stuff.
Correct. So if we start, instead of starting at the zero number and then we throw everything in, then we start taking things out. If we know going in we're starting at a particular number because we've all agreed to doing that, certainly help with the budgeting process rather than doing one of these, seeing what the final number is, and that's how you get your
vehicle. And then these are the things that keep getting cut.
And plus it causes people to ask for more, which causes the other side to say, well, you're just asking, but you don't really need it. You can cut it. Well, we have to ask for more because I know you're going to cut me down. That's it.
Yeah.
I think it creates a cycle.
And do we lose a value window by holding on to these vehicles till they're just falling apart and adding the cost of the routine maintenance on top of it. Nothing's covered under warranty anymore. So everything that goes wrong with these, and a lot goes wrong with them because they're high mileage, high hours. So do we end up losing money by trying to save money?
Right.
So anyway, I guess this question was just, when we think about what are the items that we will put money away for on a regular basis into a capital reserve fund, some towns have a minimum life expectancy of the item, whether it's a vehicle or a track and field or, you know, whatever, for what would be saved for in the capital reserve fund. Or you could have a minimum dollar amount that is the threshold for, instead of paying out of operating, this is something that we would, you know, it, maybe it's 100,000. You know, under 100,000.
I think you had that. You had that year. So right. Not less than 100.
Right.
Yeah. So and I would go with the 10-year useful life.
Okay. Okay. And that's what I.
Okay.
Perfect.
So 10-year useful life, and that works okay for dump trucks and fire trucks. That's.
I mean, you got to be getting more 10 years out of a dump truck.
I don't know off the top of my head, but I think so.
Okay. Yeah. And not less than 100,000 that we would be saving for.
Fire trucks are typically 20 to 25 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I would think a dump truck, you're probably going
to get 10 to 15. Fire truck, certain. I wasn't certain on the dump truck, but I think that we hang on to those.
I would think so, yeah.
Okay. They're not. Those aren't daily drivers.
Right.
Okay. Okay, cool. So then.
The next page. I think that was just a dot on my pen while I was tapping away.
All right.
Okay. I like on the long-term bonds, I liked the 15 years.
At least 15 years, good.
Now my chicken scratch is, I think this may need to be lower. This was your question before.
So yeah.
You said 250. The only reason I said it might be lower is if we were trying to bundle some things together.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, say you were doing, the school roof was 150,000, but you're putting a bonding package together that included other school things.
Yep. So yeah, that was why 250 was Simsbury,
right.
And a lot of the smaller towns had 100 as their lower limit. So that's good.
And it kind of.
Well, if you're going to do that, you're probably going to do cumulative,
right?
Like, you know, I know.
So that's why it says the town may go to market for general obligation bonds for a minimum threshold of $1 million. So the whole package has to be at least $1 million,
right? Mm-hmm.
But separate components within it can be anything above 100,000.
Yeah.
It would just put it into, Bill, what I was thinking, when I made the $100,000 comment, I know what you're saying. Like, well, if you're going to go do the school stuff, you just bundle it all together so it got over 250. But when I was thinking more about, like, the form for people filling out requests, when you check off, like, to give a quick checklist, like, this is going into bonding. If you had the roof on a list, but it was under 100, it would fall under the threshold of a capital reserve.
Right.
I wouldn't want a capital reserve something that you know you're going to bond with a school package in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
That was my thought process on keeping it 100. And then the numbers match.
Right.
You have capital reserve and bonding at 100. They can both be at the same spot.
Okay. I guess the only question I would have is, you know, are there instances where where you might want to do capital reserve at a lower price point for some things, for less wealthy departments, let's just say, like departments that we tend to spend less on, where that department may want to invest in something, you know, new, just make this up out of the blue. Actually, I happen to know that Sarah went and got new library furniture from a library in another town that was passing it on, which is awesome. But just pretend Sarah wanted all new library furniture. And that was going to be $75,000. But she knows she's never going to get $75,000 in operating in a single year. But maybe could get 25, 25, 25 and then get all new library furniture. Would it be reasonable to say for capital reserve, you know, maybe 50,000 is the lower limit
what if
you could save to get to buy something over time for departments that aren't at the, you know, fire department, fire truck level?
I was just wondering if you could change and or to, I don't know if that, I didn't read it all the way.
Of at least
So it has a lifespan of 10 years or...
Or for which the cost is too great, not less than 50,000?
Sure. Because the too great kind of gets to your point of it's too great. You're never going to buy. Nobody's going to approve 75,000 of.
So is 50?
This would have a lifespan of.
It would have a lifespan.
Years.
Is for so capital reserve, 10. So it's over 10
over
years.
Over 10, but.
Yeah.
But and or over 50,000.
Okay.
Because maybe for some of these
departments.
It could be
even like an air conditioner. Like I think the schools had the air conditioners that I don't think they were at 100 off the top of my head. But say it was an air conditioner unit. We just found out. We know it's going in 5 years. It's going in 5 years.
Right.
It's not 100. We don't want to put it in a bond package or have to wait for a bond package to make. But we know it has to be done. I think that's
right.
Good. I think
and then you could save for it over a couple of years.
Right.
But you'd know that in X years, you're going to get that money because you have been putting it away for that amount of time. And that's a little bit more fair to some of the other departments that don't have fire trucks, right? But have things that they want to buy. You know, they still have assets that wear out and that they never get a chance to replace because it will never be given to them in their operating.
And I think it also helps them plan ahead. It helps them plan ahead, too, that you're not finding out, like, this year, oh, by the way, we need the furniture now because it's dead. We would have found out about it 5 years earlier. Like, hey, we can squeeze 5 more years out of this.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. And I think that's nice because it's a way, like, it does have this fairness thing across departments. It's something that allows, you know, maybe you get sort of this sense of buy-in and like, yeah, this is something for us too over in library or parks or whatever, not just for fire and public works.
Cool.
All right, cool. So back to the next page. So that's cool. We said 100.
I don't know what I wrote there. I can't even remember. Yeah. I don't think we want to restrict ourselves. Oh, several times I've attempted to have at least 50% of their overall amount bonded for at any given time be for 10 years or less.
Just skip it.
I would just skip it. I think that's going to be one of those quotes that we'd come back to in 10 years and be like,
Why did we say that?
We got to change a policy.
That never happens.
No.
Okay, so we just go, bye-bye. All right, cool.
That was a sketch I was doing for something else in the back. Don't worry about that.
Do you need it? You
take a picture of it? I got it in my head.
That's funny.
So then I don't know if you guys looked at this. I kind of mimicked that form that you sent out from Grid. I recreated it and then added to it basically. I mean, pretty simple. It was an Excel sheet, so that number there, when you change that, it changes all of these. But the project title, the department, the initial request date, which I think
is important because
it wasn't on that
very
written
important.
Form, but I know we talked about projects that just keep getting kicked and kicked and kicked. The description was the same. This is basically the same, just when you think it's due. It gives you 5 years out. I mean, we may want to go 7 if we're thinking this, but that's just an easy form modification. Anticipated funding sources, if we think we're going to get a grant, that'll add up. Like, that's supposed to be, confirmed.
Right. So, you could write confirmed estimate.
We're going to try to get this bond, but these ones are confirmed. They might have something confirmed. I think it's important to have those separated, that this is wishful and this is
actual.
Yeah.
And then on the back side, this was my just first stab at, you know, the four categories that we had: operating budget, CIP, capital reserve, and bonding.
Yeah,
and this would be like for the department head. You go through it. Oh, it's under 25 grand. Easy. It goes there. It's over 25 and useful life of
less than 10.
Less than 10. It's that. And then this one we would just have to change because we just modified it. But replacement value, this would be 50. And I think that would make the job for the department heads easier. You could hand this to Tommy. Tommy can fill out all his forms for everything. And if we don't do it, then you just change the date here next year. And it's
absolutely
filled in. So I gave that to everybody in an Excel sheet. So.
But I think if we just make if we make it 7 years.
Yep,
change
I can modify that.
One word and, and then in the next page, change the amount.
Yep.
This is so cool. We're getting something done.
Getting somewhere. Getting some traction on it.
love it.
So with the exception of changing a few numbers and just a few little tweaks here and everything, I mean, do you think we're close to our final report here?
I would think so. I think we changed this because then we all have talked about this.
Yeah.
And we're kind of, I think, pretty much on the same page.
Yeah.
But we don't know what your colleagues on Board of Selectmen are going to think about it. And until they've had a chance to read through it, think about it, I would hope you guys can kind of explain our thinking, you know, have them read it, but explain our thinking as well as you can to them about why we came up with this the way we did and why the form is the way it is and all that stuff. They may still have some really good ideas that we didn't think of,
mm-hmm.
that they want to add to it, or, you know, we may not be thinking of it, but there may be something they hate, and we can't, you know, that they're just like, no, I'm not going to do this.
Nah,
I don't know. Who's going to be that way? you know, but... So I think we're probably... Like, once these changes have been made, I think we're probably where... There's no point in us keeping to try tweaking it. It should just get to the Board of Selectmen and have the Board of Selectmen.
And then they're gonna make whatever changes they want and adopt it. Huh?
Right. Mm-hmm. That would be my view. And I think that's the same thing with what we're trying to do with Board of Finance. You know, Brian, when I sent him that very still very drafty draft of the debt thing, I was like, "Do you want to try to fix this first?" And he's like, "Nah, let's just." We'll talk about it in the meeting, and if people have things they want to change, then we'll change them, and then we'll actually vote on it in September.
Okay.
So then should we just, you make these modifications, I make these modifications, and then
send them back
send
to
out.
Mark and Zoe and let them send it to the Board of Selectmen, I think, right?
Okay.
Okay, we can do that.
Okay. So,
this would be, I wrote down, you had the form has to get filled out in here somewhere called it exhibit or attachment.
Oh, yeah, right. So I think I called it attachment.
So we probably just need a form.
So we just need this.
You want to format it.
Once you have that finished,
I'll send it to you.
And I'll just have it be in the same document.
Do we want to take a formal vote? One, three,
oh, sure.
And, I would make a motion that we adopt the capital improvement plan bonding policy as presented with the modifications we made at today's meeting.
I'll second that.
Okay. Any other comments? Mm-hmm. All in favor say aye.
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 Okay. We got something to forward now.
Awesome.
Yay.
So
we're getting better at this.
Yeah.
We should have another
Woo-hoo.
Meeting.
Think how short our next meeting will be.
I know. We're getting out of here.
I don't know, Mark or Zoe, do you have any other comments or anything that we're missing, do you think, here, or that...
Or that you'd like us to... that would be helpful in what you do for this committee to do something about that you felt like... I mean, particularly, Mark, going through the budget process last year, was there anything else that you were just, like... troubled by?
Oh, well, we could spend them. We don't have that.
I don't have that. Let's narrow it down.
You know, I mean, this is something Zoe and I talk about on a day-to-day basis. I think we're just, for the budgeting issue, we're just finding things as we go along, and we're going to make on-the-spot corrections or at least suggestions to the two boards to make corrections or change the processes. I think the same is going to be for the bonding process as well. As you know, they're even just how do the questions get to vote,
mm-hmm.
time frames. It's a little bit of a moving target, but we're trying to cement some policies internally here
mm-hmm.
on how we move them. One thing that I was looking at, so I've never done a bonding project before. I know they're not done all the time here. Everybody may have a little experience with a bonding project. But when I reached out to bonding council and we told her the time frame, there was a little trepidation on their part as far as getting this there. And I thought the process was a little simpler than it actually is.
Mm-hmm.
So The town clerk has helped me out. She's never done a bonding process, but pulled the template from Farmington when they did one. So I'm looking at that and what's needed. So I think that's going to drive potentially an internal policy on our part on time frames and what information we need to have. So my thought to this committee would be, do you think that's something best left to the finance director and myself to look at and tweak as necessary, or do you think that should be part of a policy for bonding as well as to say, listen,
it might go into the debt policy that I sent the draft of.
Oh, okay. I haven't looked at that.
Yeah, yet. No, so that's okay. I just sent that to Zoe, but you know, maybe, I don't know that I put it in there. Mm-hmm. Again, it's based on what other towns have done. And we could, but that could, if it's strictly about bonding and how you do bonding, mm-hmm. I could see that going in the debt policy and being one of the things that the Board of Finance votes on for how it does, you know, for what our debt policy is for the town.
Well, that makes sense.
You should have some good examples. Just, I mean, most recent would be the firehouse and the two bridges that we just bonded.
Correct. And so, but some of that, I'm trying to find documents and all that.
The path to get.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The packet that the town clerk provided me was very comprehensive. Mm-hmm. And it lays out steps. Like, I didn't know, like, the time frame. Mm-hmm. So when we called the bond council a few weeks ago and said, hey, we want to get this taken care of for a month and a half. Mm. No, it seems like you probably want to have the hard numbers, maybe three months, mm-hmm. 3 to 4 months. Mm. Still feeling that out because, as everybody knows now, there's no time constraint.
Mm. Right.
There is, but there isn't.
Right.
But it's certainly not for November 4th this year.
But that should be spelled out somewhere. But
it's got to be spelled out. Somewhere. It's like, in order to go to bond council, you need to have your bonding package for at least 90% complete or a hard number.
I love that. Yeah. With real estimates of actual cost.
Right.
And that's not in the debt service debt policy that I sent you, Zoe.
Okay.
But I think it would be fabulous to add it. I don't know if that's something that you could put a little section together on about, you know, the relevant departments must present, you know, firm estimates of the final cost by X
date,
right. You know, or X number of weeks or months before expected, you know, whatever. I mean, I don't know
Correct.
How you word it, but whatever that is.
I think
is,
you could almost make it a hard date because if we're only going to consider bonding every 2 years.
Right.
So you could pick that date right now.
I think
now,
you would have to so that everyone
but I'm saying, like,
needs
it could,
to be on board.
Right, it could be every
time.
Every even, August 1st, every even year, if you want to be considered for bonding of that year, you have to have your bond package in by August 1st, every even year.
Okay, so it could be even as simple as a completed bond package. And then a definition what a completed bond package is.
Yep.
If something needs to be signed off on an architect, if you're building something, you might need to have these before bond council is even contemplate it. That's what I looked at the Farmington. It was their high school.
Right.
So it was a huge problem.
Because Bill had been uncomfortable with, like, firmly saying we're going to do it every 2 years, we had talked about, like, we're just going to at least every 2 years, we're going to review it.
Yeah. And I could see 2 to 3 years.
But I could even see,
I'd rather say something like on a regular basis.
I could even see that just part of the annual CIP process, right? Like, we're saying in this that the CIP committee is going to meet quarterly.
Mm-hmm.
And that on an annual basis, they will provide an updated CIP plan, and they'll do that in September, October, so that it's before the budget starts.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that plan would be to review where we are with bonding.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's part of an annually updated plan to decide, you know, is the bonding going to happen next year? Like if we just did bonding this year,
mm-hmm.
The CIP plan would say, okay, well, we're certainly not going to do it in 1 year because that
right.
we don't do that. But
these are the projects.
Here are the projects that we anticipate over the next, since we're looking right. 7 years out. Do we anticipate doing it in 2 years or 3 years from now based on the next batch of projects? And that can get updated annually.
What if you said, instead of like what I originally suggested about every even year, odd year, every other year, just say, if you want to be considered for the next, if project is to be, the next bonding package has to be in
by
at a minimum by August mm-hmm. 1st before the bonding package. So it could be, we could go in if it was an even, like to Bill's point, maybe it'll be 2 years, maybe it'll be 3 years, but on the 2 years cycle, it goes in if you want to be considered, and then we don't bond that year.
Right.
It would still have to be back in
correct.
With an updated
yes.
plan or updated pricing by the next August 1st.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm making up that number.
Yeah, no, I like that. Yeah. I like that.
Just a schedule to follow. So I know I've got a completed plan. I know that now I've got time to go to bonding council with it.
You know what the scope of work is going to be.
Yeah, the scope of work, you've got firm estimates.
And the CIP yeah. would have a chance to look at the bonding plan mm-hmm. or whatever correct. The price, the proposal is, and then I would think make the recommendation to go to the bonding.
Correct.
Plan.
And then right. we would have time built in for tweaks.
Yep.
Yeah.
Then we would have it set up so that you know the time frame, like the month where we're going to schedule
right.
a special town meeting.
But none of this, like,
so if it's a
pie in the sky, I think I want to do such and such, where you've never even gotten an estimate for it.
Right. So maybe
correct.
It should be, if we're meeting quarterly,
mm-hmm.
it should probably be at the maybe it has to be in by the second quarterly meeting of the CIP.
It might have
before,
to be.
So that otherwise we wouldn't, the CIP wouldn't get to look at it until third quarter.
Right.
And then it's too late. Mm-hmm. So maybe instead of a date, you just say by the second quarterly meeting of the CIP. Or we pick a date that the second quarterly meeting
yeah.
of the CIP has to be before right. whatever date, and that has to be in by then.
Correct. I mean, with this something that we potentially,
yeah.
would,
yeah.
as
we're I think
going
we got
through
it.
This bonding process, see what makes sense. That's why it's good having a policy if
right.
it needs to be revised.
So anyway, could you look, if there is something written up for Farmington or written up for somewhere, could you just draft a little section into that debt policy that talks about a schedule like that?
Yeah, we could potentially do that. I'll go pull that template and
yeah.
Zoe and I will review it and see if we can come up with something from that.
Yeah, the
so
only
helpful.
Thing is you can bond anytime you want.
Correct.
Sure.
So we set.
But we're trying to regularize it.
Thing.
Even okay. though you can bond anytime you want, we're trying to sort of regularize and normalize it so that people can plan and predict.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think a majority of the bonding is probably going to be for construction projects.
Right.
So if you get in by July 1st, August 1st, you decide you're going to do it, you're going to bonding by November, the funds are secured. You can break ground in April.
Mm-hmm.
And
if
that's
you
it.
Don't break ground in April, then you just spent a whole nother season, basically, or you drag
well, that's
it
the conundrum
way.
We're in right
and
now.
And then the prices go up.
And then the prices,
and the prices go up, because
right.
think about it. I still do not have, for the most part, completed packets on what to present to our bonding council on to start building the necessary forms that we can talk about to get it even to a special town meeting. So
right.
we're not even gonna be able to do this by November. Mm. So by the time we get a chance to get to an STM for a vote on it, we're gonna be very close to outside of this, as you were saying, in the spring,
start
we're getting ready to start building.
Right.
Right.
You
want to
pull for
next
summer.
And I feel like with anything, you gotta just pick a date, because if you told me I gotta have this done in the next 2 weeks, you'd get it 14 days from now. If
right.
you told me I need this afternoon, you're gonna get it this afternoon.
Yeah, so,
it's
right.
just
some projects
human
you're able
yeah,
to
yeah,
do.
Exactly.
Some are very simple.
Right.
Yeah.
Some are we need a fire truck. Here's
right.
the quote, what it costs, and we're going to them.
Yeah.
That's it.
Right.
You don't need a whole lot to be signed off, but a building project
right.
that needs to have an architect potentially sign off on some plans
and committees
and all this. And yeah, there's so
or a new pool where you're deciding between the same kind of pool we already have or a different kind of pool.
Correct. That, if you're making changes because it, whether or not it makes sense to do, but we'll say it makes sense.
Right.
Why rush into something if it's like, well, we maybe if we take our time, we can get something better or not. But it gives more time to do discussion on it.
Right.
And if it's got to be a vote, then you've got time to vote rather than pushing the projects. That's why I'm saying have a completed project ready in
right.
a certain time.
And the other reason that having completed projects all written up with estimates is that when you have a shovel-ready project like that, then when Eleni or Paul says, hey,
I've got some
state bonding money that I could push your way. Do you have anything shovel-ready for me? You say, actually, yes, it's right here in my back pocket,
right.
and I know exactly how much it's going to cost, and here's the description, and boom, you just got state funding for it instead of bonding for it.
100% correct, and we did do that. These projects I scrambled last minute.
Right.
To get things in, and maybe
exactly,
Hail Marys because
yeah.
they weren't 100. I would have right. loved to said here was 100% completed project.
Ready to go.
Exactly.
All done. All you need to do, read it, and give me some money.
Right.
That's all you need to do.
Right. So that's why it's great. I like this idea of like, you know, there by the second CIP committee of the year, you know, have it ready to go, and then we know. It's going to be considered for bonding. It's going to be shovel ready if the state legislators can do something for it or
yeah. And to Zoe's point, we're not dialing in when the bond has to officially get requested. It could be any time. It just
right.
gives somebody a timetable.
It could
you
be
have
any
to get
time,
it.
But if you do have a bonding season,
yep.
just through
it
a
just
normal
helps.
Routine, it's like we know we have the packets at this date. We know we've got time to review them. We know we have time to get it to bonding council. It takes them X amount of weeks to put together the proper paperwork. Then we know that in order to present it at the special town meeting in an appropriate manner with all the information so the right vote can be discerned, September is our month, or November, because then we know we can go to the bank, get the money, and it's ready to go. If we can ascertain that, then people get used to it.
Yep.
Then it makes, I think, things
so
easier
because
you're like, oh, it's September, a time to do this or that.
Yep.
You know, just like we do with our budgeting season,
yep.
even though that's
and
already
the same
in.
Thing is like same you know same thing with grants that might be available. Again, like when you're filling out a grant, if all of that stuff is already done, you're not scrambling to find it.
Correct. If you know that for say LOSIP. If you know that the applications need to be in January and they typically make their awards in February, you'll know if you got some money or not for it. If you were asking to potentially offset it with LOSIP money or LOSIP would cover it,
mm-hmm.
you know, but whatever it is.
Well, and
so
it's nice to get some of that stuff out of the budget season, you know.
Yeah.
Do it other times of the year. It makes
absolutely.
Year.
We,
right.
We're
already, we're all too crazed
yeah.
during budget season to.
Yeah.
yeah, absolutely. And there's things like as we're, and I had brought this up, so we're at the end of the fiscal year and we're getting ready to wrap it up. And we all know what that means. So if we're in a deficit,
yeah.
then we're going to have special town meeting to make special appropriations. So if you're having a special town meeting to take money out of the general fund balance or the unappropriated fund balance, to cover deficits in last year's budget. And then next week we're going to have a special town meeting to talk about bonding.
Mm-hmm.
Is that an appropriate time frame? Does it
right.
make sense? Is that just the right season? We're going to do all of our financial movements within that month. I don't know.
Or does that freak out the public where they're like, you didn't have enough money to do this then, and now here you are asking for more money to do something
absolutely.
Else, and, you know, you're so irresponsible.
Absolutely. And that's what happens if you don't have a schedule.
Right.
And optics are everything. And if you at least have a formal policy, it's like, I know we were in a deficit. We were surplus last year, deficit this year. But this is our bonding cycle. It's in our regulations. Vote as you will, but here are the full-fledged projects.
All the information.
And if we got it wrong, and it shouldn't be August 1st, it should be April 1st, then you change the policy.
Then change the policy, because we don't know now, but it might make sense after we
go through
one or two to see, hey,
right.
It doesn't necessarily work best in our to get this done.
So I have unrelated question for you, and I think, because the other thing I was going to do for Monday was, and I'm going to work on this tomorrow, is the unassigned fund balance policy, which will also be for the Board of Finance to decide. But when I was looking at other towns, what I found was that the ones that I think are doing something good there are asking the town to come up with an estimate for essentially contingency fund costs,
mm-hmm.
which would be, we have looked at what our expected retirements are. We've, you know, and I think we've talked about the fact that there are towns that have a system for figuring this out, for knowing who they expect to be retiring, knowing what that person's payout is going to be, and there are two different places that you could put that estimated amount of money. You could put it in a contingency fund line within the Board of Selectmen budget,
which we tried last year.
And you cut it back down to 10,000, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think the original 250 was based on 200. Okay, so I don't think the original 200 was necessarily based on a detailed estimate like that. I don't. Maybe it was.
Yes and no. I had asked around for different municipalities on what they did. So just to get out in front, it was not my idea to use the contingency fund only for payouts.
Okay.
In my office, we see a wide variety of issues come up through the year.
So there are a couple of things, right?
And Memorial Day parade.
Right.
Who's going to pay for this?
Right.
This
so
broke. Where's
I would
it coming
say,
from?
I would say, from my from Board of Finance perspective, I don't think the Memorial Day parade belongs in a contingency fund. I think there should be a Board of Selectmen line item for funding events, right? And that
sure.
could be Memorial Day parade. It could be if they decided to cover, like, do Juneteenth or not, whatever it is that they were going to do, they should have their $5,000 a year that they can put toward various civic
miscellaneous
projects.
Miscellaneous stuff.
Miscellaneous civic
up.
Projects.
Absolutely.
So that doesn't, to me, say contingency. The things that say contingency to me are the payouts and the union negotiations.
Anything where, unexpected?
Well,
A lot of municipalities use it for, on it. When I said Memorial Day, Day Parade, we have a line item for Memorial Day Parade, but as everything, subject to budget cuts.
Right.
We asked how much it was going to cost, and it's this. We
or
got
it could
this.
Be, we've
it cost
gone,
that.
We go way over our legal budget because the town got sued. Right, or we had some reason why we went. You know, that seems contingency.
And that's where it was.
So there are a number of things like that.
Absolutely.
But what I was seeing in towns was two different possibilities. One is you come up with your very best estimate for what could be needed, and that includes the payouts, the negotiations, and then some amount that's like genuine, we just don't know. And that could either go in a contingency line item in your budget, or we, Board of Finance, could have it in our line item that we use for funding the unassigned fund balance, which the previous year, to make sure it was over 15, we had put in 250. this or whatever it was, 230 or 175 or whatever it ended up going down to. This year we took it out because we were told that it was well over 15 without funding it. But it's possible that that amount that you all estimate could lead to our decision about how much we fund the fund, unassigned fund balance for, but then you have to come to us for it when you want it and get it out of unassigned fund balance.
Yeah, I mean, I think that exists.
But so I'm just saying, yeah, like, if I'm writing this up as an unassigned fund balance policy, what the towns that have a contingency fund line in their Board of Selectmen budget say is you guys have to fund your contingency line. And you can't come to us, us meaning us, the unassigned fund balance, for any of the things that you should have funded in your contingency. If you, you know, if you were not putting money into a contingency fund, then don't be asking us for it in unassigned fund balance.
So you both want to have contingency funds, essentially. The BOS has one for payouts, unexpected things like the pool, and then the Board of Finance also budgets, say, well, 250 to go towards fund balance.
So I don't know. I mean, maybe unexpected things like the pool should still be unassigned fund balance. I think what these towns are doing is saying, you Board of Selectmen, it's your job to figure out what your payouts are going to be. You need to have a formula for figuring out who's likely to retire, what their unused vacation and whatever is, and you've got to put that money away yourself, right? Like, that's not unexpected, right?
That can be done.
Right?
That can be done.
Similarly,
similarly, you
can pretty well estimate. Sorry, you absolutely don't have to stay for this.
This one's above my pay grade.
You do not have to stay for this.
Do we have to adjourn this?
Yeah.
No, you still got to you have to approve the July 31st draft minutes.
I move that we approve the July 31st minutes.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And with that, I would look for a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Second.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All
right.
Thank you, guys.
Yes, thank you. Sorry.
Appreciate it.
Journey. And I can't stay long here because I have to pick up a kid.
I'm excited.
But,
that's great.
Yes.
So,
see you guys.
So what I would say is it's a distinction.